Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam. Thank you so much for tuning in to Radio Sai and continuing to listen to our Thursday live broadcast from the studios. If you are listening to the live Mandir Bhajan sessions before the Vedam tutor, you would have heard Bhagwan singing the beautiful bhajan dedicated to Lord Rama. And then you had Vedam. Now it's time to learn bhajans. Just the other day, I was talking to Brother Sonam from Sikkim, a former student of Bhagwan's university who joined his college way back in 1978. And he had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan right from those days, in the late 70s and 80s. And he continues to do so even now. Even this morning, he was there in Prashanthi and playing harmonium and singing in front of Bhagwan. What drew him to Swami as a youngster is bhajans. I remember it was the same with another youngster, Mr. Gautam Dutt, who was with Bhagwan for more than 20 years teaching in his university. An individual who was far from anything to do with spirituality, who was interested in sports and music and friends and all the things that youngsters would want to indulge in. One day his mother says, "Can you do one thing for me? Just once come for bhajans." And he says, "Mom, I can come, but I have a condition. I should have the car keys. Whenever I don't feel like, I should have the freedom to just leave the place and come back home." And mother says, "Fine, no problem. Just come with me." And so he goes and he sits in the bhajans. It is a Akhand Bhajan for Shivratri. And Bharat Dutt says, "I don't know what happened to me after I went for the bhajan session. I didn't want to come back. 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, I can't imagine myself sitting continuously listening to Indian music, which I never heard. I always was fascinated with Western music, pop and jazz and all that." And the next Thursday, even before his mother could ask him, Bharat Dutt was ready to take his mother for the bhajans. And later on, he felt so drawn to Bhagwan that he came here, became a student. He taught in his university for 15 years. And with Bhagwan's permission now, he left the campus to carry out his mission in Middle East. So that is what bhajans can do and continues to do. So let us never miss an opportunity to connect with Bhagwan through music, through Sai bhajans. And if we do it with minimum flaws and in the right manner, we would get that much more closer, that much more our channel to God would become clearer. And this is a program to help us in that endeavor. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. So let's move on and learn one more bhajan. We begin with a prayer to Bhagwan. Let us offer our reverential and most prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our omniscient, omnipotent and omnipresent Lord. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we always realize your all-pervasiveness and do everything keeping you in our mind's eye and make sincere efforts to walk on the path laid down by you. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we will learn a bhajan adoring our Lord Bhagwan Baba as Lord Narayana. This bhajan is in the language Sanskrit, and this is how the first line goes.
Sesha Sailavasa Narayana.
Now that you are familiar with the bhajan, let's move on and
learn the lyrics, and then we'll move on to the raga, the tala, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to what Bhagwan has said about bhajan singing from three former students of Bhagwan's university who have been members of the Prashanti Bhajan group for many decades. So here are the lyrics to get started.
శేష శైల వాస నారాయణ భక్త పారిజాత నారాయణ శేష శైల వాస నారాయణ సర్వ జీవ వాస నారాయణ సామ గాన లోల నారాయణ సత్య సాయి రూప నారాయణ.
And now let's move on to learning to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line very slowly, and Anirudh will follow Ravi Kumar after every line. Dear listeners, you too please join Anirudh so that you can grasp how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp pancham. శేష శైల వాస నారాయణ
శేష శైల వాస నారాయణ
శేష శైల వాస నారాయణ
శేష శైల వాస నారాయణ
భక్త పారిజాత నారాయణ
భక్త పారిజాత నారాయణ
భక్త పారిజాత నారాయణ
భక్త పారిజాత నారాయణ
శేష శైల వాస నారాయణ
శేష శైల వాస నారాయణ
సర్వ జీవ వాస నారాయణ
సర్వ జీవ వాస నారాయణ
సర్వ జీవ వాస నారాయణ
సర్వ జీవ వాస నారాయణ
సామగాన లోల నారాయణ
సామగాన లోల నారాయణ
సాయి రూప నారాయణ
సత్య 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 సాయి రూప నారాయణ
శేష శైల వాస నారాయణ.
So So you heard Ravi Kumar and Anirudh singing for you the tune of this bhajan very slowly without any musical accompaniments. And now, from Anirudh, let us learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. So Anirudh, please tell us, in which raga is this beautiful bhajan based?
Saram Vishu, this bhajan is based on the raga Madhuvanti in Hindustani music, and it is popularly called as Dharmavati in Carnatic classical music.
Okay.
It's a very melodious raga, and towards the last line of the bhajan, I think the raga is Hemavati. So it's a mixture of two ragas.
Okay.
Madhuvanti and Hemavati.
So only the last line is in another raga?
Yeah, the last line, the knee, the komal knee comes.
Okay.
So there the entire feel changes, and that yet another beautiful raga is Hemavati.
Okay.
So I'll tell you the notes of Madhuvanti first.
Yes.
In the Arohana, we have Sa Re Re Shuddh Ga. Ga is komal. Ma. Ma is tivrma.
Okay.
Pa Da. Dha is shuddh. Ni. Ni is kshuddh. Sa, sa ni dha pa, ma ga re sa. The feel of this raga and the mood of this raga is little sad. It's a minor, you have the minor ga.
Yes, but at the same time you have the tivrama.
Yeah, tivrama, yeah. Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa. Sa ni da pa ma ga re sa. This is Dharmavati,
yeah,
in the Carnatic music. Whereas if you see Hemavati, Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa. Did you notice any change?
Yes, you had the komal ni to the ni one.
Yeah, very good. In this raga, it is only changed by the note ni.
Yes.
Sa re ga ma pa dha ni is Madhuvanti.
Yes.
Sa re ga ma pa dha ni is Hemavati. Sa ni da pa ma ga re. There is so much of difference in the feel. Actually, when the ni, one note,
yes,
changes from shuddh to komal.
Yes. But I think that is what lends so much beauty to this bhajan.
Yeah, the blend of these two ragas, yeah. Especially with that connector of he, that is the connector from Madhuvanti to Hemavati.
Hemavati. Wonderful. So Anirudh, please give us a small demonstration of how this raga flows.
Yeah, sure. That was Hemavati.
Yes. Ga komal and then also ni komal, I think both of them lend themselves to convey pathos so beautifully.
Yeah, the
Hemavati has got more pining feeling.
Yes.
When the transition from the Shuddhini to Komalini.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So let's move on and do the swaras for every line of this bhajan. Arvind Sai is here to join us. As you sing every line, we will follow the swaras.
Yeah, sure.
శేష శైలవాస నారాయణ సరి గపమాగరిస గరిసనిదనిస
సరి గపమాగరిస గరిసనిదనిస
భక్త పరిజాత నారాయణ గగమమ పాప పదని సనిదమదపమగ
గగమమ పాప పదని సనిదమదపమగ
Again we come back to the first line.
సరి గపమ గరిస గరిసనిదనిస
సరి గపమ గరిస గరి సనిధాని
సర్వ జీవ వాస నారాయణ దాని సారి నిరి సనిదాప పాప దని సనిస
దాని సారి నిరి సనిదాప పాప దని సనిస
In the second time, this is a small variation, just by one note.
Sarva jeeva vasa.
Which has a lot of emphasis and
Sarva jeeva
feeling in it.
Yes.
Dani gari niri sani da pa 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 dani sani sa.
The rest is the same.
Yeah.
Dani gari.
Yeah.
One. 2, 3, 4, 1.
Dhani gari niri sani da pa 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 dani sani sa.
Samagana lola narayana. Gaga gaga ri gari gasa ni dani sari gari gari.
Gaga gaga ri gari gasa ni dani sari gari gari.
Satya sai rupa narayana. Sasa sasa niri sani dapa ga ma ma pa.
Sa 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 niri sa ni da pa ga ma ma pa.
And here comes the connector to the Hemavati.
Yes.
He satya sai rupa narayana. Dava ma padani ni 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 dada padani pa. గరి గస
దపమ పదని నీని నీని దద పదని ప గరి గస
సో దాట్స్ ది ఎలాబొరేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీ లైన్ థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ అనిరుద్ధ్ సో వాట్ ఆర్ ది అదర్ భజన్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ రాగ మధువంతి సిన్స్ దిస్ భజన్ ఇస్ లార్జ్లీ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ మధువంతి
యా ఇన్ మధువంతి ది భజన్ విచ్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ మై మైండ్ రైట్ నౌ ఇస్
మధువన మురళి శ్యామ మురారి సవనియా మోహే రాస విహారీ
అండ్ ఆల్సో యూ హ్యావ్
రఘుకుల భూషణ రాజీవ నయన
Yes. And the Ganesh bhajan which comes to my mind
which
is
one?
Gajanana.
Yeah. Gajanana.
Wonderful.
Beautiful bhajan.
Yeah, it's very different sort of feel, Ganesh bhajan.
Yeah.
Yes. So, shall we move on to the beat?
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is regular 8 beat, Aditalam. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
ಮಹೇಶ ಶೈಲವಾಸ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ಶೇಷ ಶೈಲವಾಸ ನಾರಾಯಣ
And it goes like that?
Yeah. So thank you very much Anirudh and Arvind Sai for giving a beautiful elaboration of the raga and the tala.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam.
Now that we are done with the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the tala of this bhajan, let's move on to the aspect of bhava, the feeling with which we must render this bhajan and in fact for that matter any bhajan, how we should make these offerings to Lord. To develop the correct bhava, we have to understand what each word in this bhajan conveys. And so let's begin with the first line.
Sesha Sailavasa Narayana.
The first word here is Shesha, referring to the thousand-hooded serpent Adishesha. The second word is Saila, meaning hill, while the third word is Vasa, meaning residing in, and the fourth word is Narayana, and this word Narayana occurs in every line of this bhajan. According to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, Lord Narayana is one among the holy trinity of gods, the other two being Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Narayana sustains and nourishes the universe and is said to recline on the serpent Adishesha. The word Narayana is actually the conjunction of two words, Nara and Ayana. Nara in Sanskrit means water and Ayana refers to a resting place. So the name Narayana means the one whose resting place is water or the ocean. In fact, Lord Narayana is most often depicted as the one reclining on the ocean of milk. But that is the superficial meaning of this name, Narayana. The word Nara can be further interpreted as Na and Ra. Ra means to perish and Na means no. So Nara means that which does not perish. And this refers to jivatmas or the living entities or the individual souls, because the soul never dies, it only moves on. Thus in this sense, Narayana means the one whose ayana or resting place is in all naras or in all living entities. To put it differently, Narayana is the one who abides in every being. He is the all-pervasive Lord. And this is substantiated by the Vedic declaration Antar Bahishya Tat Sarvam Vyapya Narayana Sthitaha, that is, Narayana is present inside, outside, everywhere. Moving on, we saw that Shaila means hill. In this context, it refers to the Tirumala hill in the South Indian state of Andhra Pradesh. This hill consists of seven peaks, and the sacred Tirupati temple dedicated to Lord Narayana is located on the seventh peak named Venkatadri. During a discourse in 1974, Bhagwan explained, the deity worship in Tirupati is called the Lord of the Seven Hills, for seven hills have to be climbed before the temple is reached. And Swami went on to explain, obviously the six chakras or the six energy centers and the Sahasrara are indicated here, because in Raja Yoga, the Supreme is revealed only when the individual raises the vital energy or the Kundalini Shakti up to the seventh stage. And Baba further explained, one of the hills is named Seshagiri, meaning the snake hill. From the plains, this range gives the appearance of a snake with a raised hood. Another important insight that Bhagwan gives is that the temple in Tirupati is on the seventh hill, and one has to traverse and go over six hills to reach the Lord. Bhagwan says that the six hills symbolize the deadly vices of lust, anger, greed, attachment, pride, and jealousy. We must overcome these passions before we can go into the sanctum sanctorum of the Lord and be face to face with the Divine. So in this line, Sesha Saila Vasa Narayana, we glorify Lord Narayana, who reclines on the thousand-hooded serpent Adishesha, the Lord of the seven hills, the all-pervasive one, the one having one of his abodes on the hill of Venkatadri in Tirupati. Let's move on to the second line.
Bhakta Parijata Narayana.
The first word here is Bhakta, meaning devotee, and the second word is Parijata. The third word is Narayana, which we already discussed. Parijata is the name of a flower that blooms at evening, permeating the air with a wonderful fragrance and falling off at daybreak. It's a beautiful combination of colors, with the stalk being orange in color and the petals in white. These flowers are gathered for religious offerings and to make garlands. In Sanskrit, Parijata means descended from the sea. According to ancient Indian culture, when the ocean of milk was churned, the Parijata tree was created. But Indra, the chief of the Devas or the gods, thought that it was far too beautiful for earth, and so he took it to the Devaloka or the heavenly abode of the gods, where it grew as one of the five celestial trees. But later on, Lord Krishna, during his avatar, brought it back to earth. It is regarded as one of the five wish-fulfilling trees in Devaloka. Therefore, one meaning of the phrase Bhakta Parijata Narayana is that the Lord is like the wish-fulfilling Parijata tree. He is like this wish-fulfilling boon for his devotees, ever ready to grant bountiful benedictions and fulfilling even our petty wishes. It might also be interesting to note that Lord Narayana's heavenly throne is said to be placed under a flowering Parijata tree, according to ancient Indian culture. Therefore, just as the flowering Parijata tree is the heavenly throne for Lord Narayana, a devotee's pure heart too becomes a majestic throne for the Lord to be seated on. So in this line, Bhakta Parijata Narayana, we glorify the Lord as the wish-fulfilling Parijata tree for his devotees, the one who's ever eager to bless his devotees, the one who resides in the pure hearts of his devotees. Let's move on to the third line.
Sesha Sailavasa Narayana.
This is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan. Many of us are familiar with the fact that when Bhagwan was born on November 23, 1926, his grandfather placed him on a mat covered with a thick bedspread in a corner of the room. Suddenly, the woman observed the bedspread rising up and falling down on either side of the baby. And when they lifted the baby and then the mat, a serpent was found coiled beneath. And this was none other than the serpent or the snake Adishesha, on whom Lord Narayana is said to recline. Is there an inner meaning to the Lord lying on the serpent? In the book Loving God, Professor Kasturi writes, the serpent, Baba says, is symbolic of pollution, poison and death. And God is pictured as overwhelming, as quietening and as mastering these evil traits. So when we sing this line, Sesha Shaila Vasa Narayana, let us pray to the Lord to subdue our inert evil tendencies, which are as poisonous as a serpent. He alone can help us overcome our negative traits. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Sarva Jiva Vasa Narayana.
The first word here is Sarva, meaning all, and the second word is Jiva, meaning individual soul. I feel compelled here to narrate a very moving incident that bears testimony to the fact that Bhagwan is indeed the Lord who resides in all beings. A group of 60 devotees had arrived at Prashantanilayam for Bhagwan's birthday in 1972. Swami granted them a special audience in the bhajan hall and also addressed them briefly. He then gave them Vibhuti Prasadam with his own hands to everyone, along with two additional packets of Vibhuti to a girl named Lucky. And when he gave this to this girl, Lucky, Swami said, "This is for your cat." Now the group was pleasantly surprised at the compassion of Bhagwan to this little girl. But the little girl started crying. Tears of gratitude and devotion were overflowing in Lucky's eyes because she alone knew the reason for Bhagwan's gift of vibhuti. On a rainy day about 6 months ago, Lucky had saved a kitten from drowning in a city drain and brought it home, much to the disgust of her older sister, who was a staff nurse in the local hospital and she disliked cats. So Lucky took special care of this kitten. Days passed and one day the kitten took away a good bite of fish from the kitchen, which was meant for some guests. And the older sister was furious and she shouted at Lucky, who in turn caned the kitten with a big stick till the poor creature yelled in pain bitterly. Suddenly, there was a big noise as 16 garlanded pictures of Bhagwan just fell on the floor with a thud. Thinking that an earthquake has occurred, all the guests ran out of the house for safety. But they figured that there was no earthquake. And after some time, all of them came in and they were surprised to note that only Baba's pictures had fallen on the ground. And the older sister immediately realized her fault and she asked Lucky to stop beating the kitten. Both the sisters were now in tears and the kitten, now on the table, shook its coat in relief. And when she did that, the whole table was sprinkled with fragrant vibhuti. And this vibhuti had the distinct fragrance of being the one that Bhagwan gave to devotees at Puttaparthi. That is what Lucky felt. 6 months had passed since this incident, but the all-knowing Lord chose to reveal the incident in the bhajan hall in Prashantanilayam to not only confirm the experience to Lucky but also to teach each one of us that He indeed is the one who resides in all beings. Therefore, in this line, Sarva Jiva Vasa Narayana, we extol the Lord who resides in everyone and who teaches us to see Him in everyone. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Samagana Lola Narayana.
Here the first word is Sama, refers to Samaveda, one of the four Vedas. In the Satya Sai Vahini, Bhagwan writes, the Samaveda is mainly swaras or musical notations. It is referred to as the Gana Veda also, Swami says. And this is to highlight its musical nature. All schools of music are derived from the styles that are marked out by the Samaveda, Bhagwan explains in Satya Sai Vahini. Swami says all tones and all notes are embedded in this Veda, the Samaveda. So that is the meaning of Sama. And Gana means song. And the third word is Lola, which means he who revels or he who delights in. And the fourth word is Narayana. It is no secret that Bhagwan loves heartfelt musical renderings. During one trip to Kodaikanal with the students, there were many morning sessions when Swami permitted students to sing. They would render timeless devotional compositions so beautifully and Swami would just graciously accept the cymbals from a boy and start giving beat to the music most wonderfully. Hours would pass like this and Bhagwan would involve himself completely with the singing, sometimes asking them to stop and inquiring the meaning of the song, at other times asking who taught them or if they could sing again a particular song or if they knew some other song which he liked. The session used to go on and on, the discussion about songs, ragas, beats and so on. And seeing all this and witnessing and enjoying all this, one boy told Swami, "Swami, you are truly Ganapriya. You are a great lover of music." Bhagwan paused, went a step further and sealed the issue by saying, "It is not just that God is a lover of music. God is Ganapriya." Swami said, "Music is God's love. Music is God's love." So in this line, Sama Gana Lola Narayana, we adore the one who revels in music, the one who is most pleased with pure devotion in the form of music. We come to the next line.
Satya Sai Roop. కృపానారాయణ.
The first word here is Satya, meaning true. The second word is Sai, which means Master or Lord. And the third word is Rupa, meaning form. And the last word is Narayana. In his discourse on the holy Vijayadashami day of 2008, Bhagwan spoke about truth. And Swami said, Satya is the most important quality I look for in people. Wherever I go, I teach only truth, for from truth emerges dharma or righteousness. And then pointing to himself, Swami said, this Satyanarayana is the embodiment of truth and righteousness, of Satya and Dharma. It is for propagating these two human values that Lord Satyanarayana has incarnated in human form. Whatever he speaks is truth, truth and nothing but truth. And Swami went on to add, people do not follow my words properly and take my words lightly, thinking them to be just a joke or fun. Whatever I speak, even if it is a joke or for fun, it is truth, truth and truth only. Bhagwan further elaborated on what truth actually is. He said, truth is oftentimes construed as giving expression to one's own thoughts. It is not as simple as that. It is much more. It is putting them into action. Truth is one with perfect accord between one's thought, word and deed. Swami also added, truth does not make any kind of distinction. It has neither friends nor foes. It has no hatred or dislike against anyone. All are the children of Satyam, of truth. Hence, all are equal to me. I do not make any distinction between people. This is what Bhagwan declared. So when we sing this line, Satya Sai Rupa Narayana, let's hail the Lord who took up the form of Satya Sai to establish this supreme principle of truth. Let's move on now to the seventh line.
Satya Sai Rupa Narayana.
The only new word here is hey, which is a term used to endearingly call out to someone. Even as a young child, Bhagwan strictly adhered to truth. Many of us might be aware of the drama in Telugu titled Cheppinatlu Chestara, or Should Deeds Follow Words, that Swami himself scripted, directed and even acted in as a young lad of 12 years. This drama brings out the confusion in the mind of a young boy who sees his mother, father and school teacher speaking very eloquently about good deeds but not following them in daily life. The boy becomes disgusted and refuses to go to school one day, and he says, if all that is learned is to be discarded when it comes to action, I do not understand why I should learn anything at all. And this opens the eyes of all the three, and they praise the boy as their guru and decide thenceforward to speak the truth and act the truth. There is an incident shared by Brother Arun Kumar, an alumnus from Bhagwan's institute, who was also blessed to serve Bhagwan at very close quarters for several years. In 2002, on the occasion of Guru Purnima, Bhagwan inaugurated the Sri Satya Sai Dina Janodharana Padakam, a scheme under which residential units were constructed to house orphan children or single mothers with children belonging to weaker sections of society. A sizable number of children from various villages around Puttaparthi are now supported by this scheme. Once a week, they used to come to Prashantanilayam to have Bhagwan's darshan, and Swami too would lovingly interact with them. On one such occasion, Bhagwan asked Brother Arun and a couple of other brothers to bring apples to distribute to these kids. As they kept distributing, Bhagwan supervised and checked whether each boy had got an apple. At one point, Bhagwan asked Brother Arun to give an apple to a small boy who was sitting in the third row. But noticing this, the boy immediately took out an apple that he already had and he said, Swami, I have already got my apple. And seeing the spontaneous behavior of this little one, Swami became so absolutely ecstatic that he greatly appreciated the boy. He called the boy near and he said, very good boy, very good boy. Always speak the truth. And then Bhagwan hugged the boy and even materialized a chain and put it around his neck saying, ఎప్పుడూ సత్యమే పలుకు. ఆల్వేస్ స్పీక్ ద ట్రూత్. అండ్ వెన్ దిస్ హ్యాపెన్ ద హోల్ క్లోన్త్ హాల్ రిసౌండెడ్ విత్ క్లాప్స్. What a profound message driven home, and so strongly. Just imagine the message that would have sunk into the 60 odd boys seated there. They would have clearly understood that this is what Bhagwan wants from all of us. No amount of teaching or bookish reading would have imprinted on their minds this importance of speaking truthfully as that one incident with Bhagwan did in their lives. Though speaking truthfully is only a tiny part of what truth actually is, but that is the starting point for everyone, be it a child or an adult. So in this line, He Satya Sai Rupa Narayana, we glorify the supreme teacher of truth, Satya Sai. So with that, we have understood the meaning of every word of this bhajan, at least to some extent. And now, let us move on, and keeping all this in the back of our mind and assimilating these beautiful significances inherent in every word of this bhajan, let's sing this bhajan once again, now with hundreds of other students studying in Bhagwan's university. You will now listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir.
Sorry.
Now in the last part of this program, here is a small excerpt from the National Bhajan Workshop held in the Vrindavan Ashram of Bhagwan in June 2013. Three brothers, Ravi Kumar, Siddhartha and Amay, share about their learnings about bhajan singing that they have absorbed from Bhagwan himself.
But there's one other caution when it comes to bhava, and that is something that we all should know, and that is only bhava is not enough. Along with it, raga and tala also should be there. Because Swami, as he said, that you have to become a conduit for someone else's, not become a dam for someone else's prayers. You could either become a dam or a pipe. You have to choose. So only bhava is not enough. It's a necessary but not sufficient condition for bhajan singing. Along with that, you also need raga and tala. But the Lord is always bhava priya. And that is why people like us have got a chance to sing in front of Swami. Because if he was truly raga priya or tala priya, I don't think we would have got that opportunity to sing in front of Swami. That is what we had to tell you all about these three things, about raga, tala and bhava. With all these beautiful moments that we have had with Swami, he used to always come back to tell us that you become a flute. And that is how we all started, to become a flute in his hands. We'll just conclude with a beautiful story that we have heard many times, but nevertheless would like to repeat it here. There was a gentleman in Bangalore, long back, during the days when Swami used to stay in Bangalore and attend the Akhanda Bhajan. There was a person who walked up to Padmanabhan sir and said, showed his condition. He had pigmentation all over his body, there were white patches all over his body, and that was making him obviously not very acceptable to society. And he wanted to tell Padmanabhan sir to pray to Bhagwan to cure him of this. And Padmanabhan sir said, it is obviously between you and Bhagwan, you have to pray and Swami will surely listen. I cannot recommend, there is no recommendation with Bhagwan. And so he said, there is Akhanda Bhajan and you come for that. And so it so happened that Akhanda Bhajan was happening. Swami sat from 6 to 9 in the evening and had just come back and had just finished his dinner. And he was sitting on a cot with the entire family and he was talking to them. It had started raining outside. And suddenly Swami said, I want to go for bhajans. Come, let us go for bhajans. And Padmanabhan sir was saying, Swami, just now we have come back and tomorrow whole day is there. You will be tired. Swami, you should take rest. And Swami said, no, you get up. Come immediately. Get your car ready. We are going for bhajans. And so Swami literally dragged all of them, okay, for the bhajan session. And even as Swami was entering into this bhajan hall, this gentleman with this disease was singing, Darsh Dikhao Mere Sai Nandalala. And with his eyes closed, he sat over there in front. He did not know that Swami had arrived. There were only about 10 or 15 people seated in the bhajan hall. Swami gently swayed through the entire bhajan. And even as the bhajan ended, Swami just packed him on his head, and in front of everyone assembled over there, all the patches of his body had vanished. That is the power of bhajans. That is the power of prayer.
So that was a small excerpt from the National Bhajan Workshop held in the Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013. And with that, we've reached the end of this current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We do hope you enjoyed it. Please feel free to share your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Dhananjay, Sunil and Abhishek. And the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With hearts full of gratitude, we offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.
So with this, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Life. Thank you so much for being with us all the day through, listening to our live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu, and you heard an episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. It is time to now move on to our next segment based on Bhagwan's discourses, Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhisthasanam. Brothers Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting to take over, along with their guest, Sri Rangarajan sir, who was there for this program last week also. So after this program, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, I will be back and we will have a fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And today, we are going to get insights about a fantastic personality whose life, his routine and his principles are an example for the youth of today. Someone who was so inspired by a personality who was in turn tremendously inspired by God. We are going to listen to the life of Mr. V. Kalyanam, an awe-inspiring Nigerian Gandhian, 91 years old, still alive and still as active as if he is 30. So please wait, hold on, keep listening. We are going to listen to this awe-inspiring life and the way Gandhiji has inspired him and the ideals that Gandhiji was inspired from Bhagwan, and how the same divine helps someone who is so rooted in discipline, so rooted in truth, so rooted in love to unleash that power of the soul. You get a beautiful example from his life. So we'll get to the first part of this discussion today, coming up in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, 1 hour from now. For the moment, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam with Prem and Sai Prakash. Thank you so much and Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam.